uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us, Moonbats. We're up late here tonight, and glad you could join us. It is indeed
Metal Moonbat Monday.
And we're glad you could be here with us. Monday going into Tuesday, 18th into the 19th, 2011. Thanks for staying up late with us. We got some news and information to get into here on the broadcast tonight. We're also going to continue reading from the Lost Book of Enki as well. I want to give a special shout out and thanks to Stargate, to Eden in the chat room, Global Reality chat room at theglobalreality.com. He pulled a memory out of the clear blue sky without even thinking of it and remembered what page we left off on last time we did a broadcast. It was page 152, and he was indeed exactly right when I went and checked that. So thanks to Stargate, to Eden for supporting the network and helping us out there and getting some information back to me. Thanks so much, bro. Appreciate that. And yes, DJ's mad because I haven't played the appropriate Slayer song that he wants. So I'll see if I have the Annihilator. I don't know if I have the entire Slayer catalog. I've got, you know, a few select albums. I've got Raining Blood. I've got Americana. You know, I've got a few, but I'll see what I can do, and I'll pull out. I'll play you some Slayer during the break tonight, DJ, and that is a promise, good sir. So there you go. So thanks for being with us. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. We also have emails if you want to send in emails during the broadcast or any time. I've got a bunch, and I want to apologize. There was a few that we got in last week, and I skipped over some when I was going through some on the last broadcast. So I apologize to those people, and I'll get into your emails tonight, as well as recent ones that we've gotten over the weekend and in today as well. We'd love to have some from you tonight as well. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. It's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Send them there, and I'll do my best to get into them tonight. Questions, anything like that, topics you've got you want to discuss, or, you know, anything you want to ask me about, that's where you do it. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. And, of course, the aforementioned chat room at theglobalreality.com, chat room there. And you can come on in and join everybody in the Global Reality chat room tonight. Lots of people getting moon baddies. So I swear, though, you guys, seriously, for the past, I don't know, like fucking 20 shows, I swear they wait till, I mean, I'm going like the music's, you know, the fucking intro music started, you know, Buckaroo Banzai. Yeah, if you didn't know, have I ever let that out of the bag? I don't know if I have, but that's where it's from. Everybody always asks, what's the theme song from? Buckaroo Banzai Across the Fourth Dimension with Peter Weller. It's one of my favorite all-time cult classic films. It was my favorite movie when I was a kid. It shows you, you watch that and you're like, yeah, fourth dimensional entities, blah, 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 this, all that. Yeah. Mr. Big Bootay. It's a classic. If you've never seen that movie, do yourself a favor. But every time I'm about to start a show for like the past week, I mean, right when the music intro is going, somebody drops a Kirk Hammett is gay reference or Lars Ulrich's micro penis or something. I mean, like, split That's why I was laughing when I came on air. I mean, the past couple of shows, I'm coming on trying to do my intro, and I just happened to look down at the chat room, split second, right on time, and boom, there's a picture of Lars Ulrich's micro penis. I mean, it just... So, needless to say, if you are going to ever enter the chat room, this is for... I have to, you know, put out all these new disclaimers now, because we have a lot of new listeners coming on from the Red Ice interview, and a lot of new people. Thank you so much, everybody out there, by the way. Lots of new listeners and stuff coming on, but we're kind of a rowdy bunch over here, and anything goes, and, I cuss and whatever, and... So it's not your average or regular show over here. We just, we do things the way we want to do it. Because I just believe that when I started this network in 2009, my whole thing was I felt like such a hypocrite from being on all these other networks because I was censoring myself, I can go overboard with cussing and getting into it and getting emotional. Anybody can. But, damn it. Sometimes, when you're getting emotional about something, look at the stuff that we're talking about here. Look at the stuff that we're expressing ourselves about here. I mean, you have to be real about this stuff, man. Not only for me, because I've got people listening and stuff like that, you got to be real, but you have to be real for yourself. If this shit fucking pisses you off, then God damn it, get up and say this shit fucking pisses you off. Don't censor that. I used to always kind of feel like a hypocrite because, we're getting up on these shows and talking about, free speech and, rights, constitutional rights. And yet, we always censor the things that we say. For what? Well, for this illusion that, if we say those kind of words, well, we're not going to be able to have our shows on micro FM broadcasters. That was a big one I always heard. And who gives a shit? Nobody listens to those things much anyway. And they always get busted. And, I never saw a benefit, not benefit one. And all the years, and I was on those for years. I was on a fucking FM station for years that Jonesy used to be on. He had to pay him a big bunch of cash to take my show off and put his back on. Oh, that was brutal. Oh, my God. I talked about that last week. That's just still if I'm proud of anything I've ever done, it's that. And that alone. I don't know if I'm proud of anything ever. For 6 months in Jones's backyard in Central Texas, in the broad daylight at 12:00, in the heart of, don't tread on me, right wing, Texas, go Ron Paul land. I talked shit about Ron Paul and Jones and the CMP and talked about the Anunnaki for 6 fucking months and stirred the pot so much, Jonesy had to pay a nice chunk of change out of his own pocket to get my show off. If I'm proud of anything I've done in my life, it's that. Honestly, that's kind of a crowning moment for me. So thanks to everybody for being here with us tonight. And, we're going to be getting into some, all kinds of crazy news, man. The YouTube subscribers are just going through the roof. I was looking at my statistics on my YouTube videos. So we've been getting just a gang load of new subscribers. Are all of our videos, even the Demigods videos I put up, it has a little graph on the inside thing and it shows you what your statistics are. And on every single one of my videos, even stuff for our band, the Demigods, every video on my channel, you see the little bar and it's like flatlined right up to about the day that the Red Ice thing hit. And, then all of a sudden you just see a huge spike, I hear something just change a little bit in my... There we go. Like something changed in my sound. Like something got real weak sounding there for a minute. I'm having a balls to it. But all the videos all across the board just spiking. Secret Volume 1. Again, thanks to Henrik for putting that up on the... He embedded that into the page for the Red Ice interview. And it's just gotten it tons more hits. The movie was, Lee got a bunch of hits for me as well by putting he's had it up there for a while. He's had the Secret Right Volume 1 up there on his website, roguegovernment.com, on the featured video. And I hope he continues to keep that up there because we got a lot of hits from it. And by the way, Lee, if you're listening on a rebroadcast or something later on an archive, but I know you tune in sometimes, but I just now today got a message from you from the 7th. Don't ever use Skype, man, because that stuff Skype is like a fucking, it's like a Trojan. I mean, literally, I saw it the other day, it was up, And I was checking my background resource. It was using like something like 128,000 K or something. It was just huge. Just a resource hog for no reason. I mean, the thing, if it's off and you're not using it, should not be using that many resources. If it is, it's using it to eavesdrop on you through your video camera on your computer, your microphone, or anything else. Anyway, there was a message on there from Lee from like the 7th asking me to come if I wanted to come on his show and do a 3-hour uncensored thing again soon. Lee, yes, I do, man. I'm sorry. I'll get in contact with you real soon. I didn't see your message until today, and it was sitting on the 7th, so I never opened up my Skype, so I didn't see that, bud. So thanks. I'll get in contact with you about that real soon. But again, you know, if you're a new listener and you're just now tuning in, again, enter the chat room at your own risk. There's you never know what you're going to see in there. Micro penis pictures and, I don't know, all kinds of crazy shit. It's a wild bunch in there, but it also is fun and also is informative, and a lot of info gets passed around in there and links, and it's a good place to meet people of like mind. So definitely check out the chat room if you get a chance. Oh, let's go to the chat room right now. Let's get a consensus. Yeah, see, my microphone keeps, something's going on here. You know, my preamp may be dying. Well, what's going on? Well, let's get a consensus from the chat room here. Chat room, should I do emails first tonight or news? What do you think? How do you post a pic in there? You just take the link of whatever the picture is, and you can hit Control V and it'll paste it in there. But you just need to copy the link address. Right click on the picture and select copy link address. Kick the preamp. I can't get my foot up that high. So what do you think? News first or emails first? What do you think, guys? A little help here? All right, let's go to emails first tonight. Fuck it then. I'm not getting any response back. By the way, I think the screen bill is due, so if you want to contribute to what we're doing, theglobalreality.com, the chipping banner, donate button is there. We also have a new P.O. box where you can send checks and stuff now. We've had, like, pretty abysmal support over the past couple of weeks, so we really need some support right now. So please donate to our work so we can continue, please. That's really all I can say. Let's see if we can get into some news here. I've found two or three I had skipped. I read this one the other night where the guy said I was kind of a dick. That was funny. You gotta love any email you get this. Hey, man, I like your show. You're kind of a dick. That's funny, though. This says, okay, here we go. This is from Jan, J-A-N, I'm saying Jan, maybe. But hi, Josh, I've been listening to you for around a month or so. And as a longtime Red Eye subscriber, I got to say, it was a treat to listen to you and Henrik over the 2 hours. I could have listened to you two chaps for days. Thank you. That's awesome. You need to get one of his 3-hour specials on the go next time. I didn't know he had such. Yeah, well, maybe he'll do that sometime. I definitely could fill it up with ease. I filled up that 2 hours pretty easy. I didn't even scratch the surface, man. I had kind of a list, which I don't normally do, but I had kind of a list of some things that I wanted to hit on the show, particular things. I got to hit on some of them, but I want to get into some of the more deeper stuff. But anyway, thanks so much for that. It says, I've listened to Alex Jones since about 2006, 2007, and something didn't feel right a couple of years ago with him. I got to say, though, mate, you're the first person to get some good exposure with all this stuff. Yeah, I am the first person to get some good exposure with all this stuff. Cause I've been hammering it nonstop for almost 4 years now. So the fact that I'm finally getting even a little bit of exposure for this is, attributed to the fact that I've not stopped talking about it for almost 4 years. It'll be 4 years in September. I've been talking about it, exposing and researching the Council for National Policy and the deeper elements of that that tie into the priest class and the Jesuits and the Knights of Malta and Zionists and the whole and Anunnaki and the whole damn thing. It all interconnects. So, you know, yeah, I am the first person. But I think the reason that is because, well, if you watch A Secret Life Volume 1, what is the one thing in that film that I don't do? I don't come out and attack Alex Jones, and I don't come out and attack or expose or put information about Ron Paul. Now, I did that with intent. I didn't do that because I didn't have information on him that connected. No, I did that because I knew that if I put that in the film in Volume 1, people would zero in on that, and they would call me a hater and a divider and everything else, and they would overlook all the other good info that was in that film just because, you know, they think I was attacking their hero or whatever. So that was done with intent. That's the reason I left that out. And I think that also is why now that people have actually looked into this stuff, because for the longest time, people didn't want to hear it. For the first, you know, 2-3 years, it's only recently people have really started to wake up to the CMP and this stuff, and it's awesome. It's great. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I wish you could stand in my shoes and see how this feels. Or the people that know me, you know, my family and my friends, you know. It was like a club that only 10 people were in for a long time. And now, I mean, look at it. It's become a part that way. I mean, I've achieved the goal of what I wanted to do with this research, which was to make it a part of the conversation. That was my only goal ever for talking about and exposing the CMP stuff or Alex Jones or any of this stuff, was to make it a part of the conversation, to make it a part of the conspiracy nomenclature, to part of it. As much of the nomenclature as information about the CFR and Trilateral Commission and, you know, the more obvious left-wing socialist stuff that also, you know, because they always tell you, the right-wingers always tell you, oh, it's, you know, it's the left-wing socialist New World Order. They don't tell you that it's a world socialist system that controls both left and the right, because if they do that, then they expose their CMP masters and their Jesuit masters and everything else. So I really attribute the fact that I've had, am the first person to get some good exposure with this stuff to the fact that I built the story first and built the information first and then came out and showed those deeper elements later. And really, it was just kind of synchronistic things that would happen, you know. Jones would come out and do something like the Joker makeup thing. You know, so he you know, having Charlie Sheen on or whatever, and he just continued to do these things that would expose him. He would expose himself, really. And then when I would, you know, slowly start coming out with talking about his connections and things like that and showing people the connections to Hollywood and the Jesuits and, you know, the families that he's involved with and all this, and the Bronfen banking empire, who is his lawyer. You understand that? He has the same lawyer. His lawyer is the same lawyer that represents the Bronfman Jewish banking empire. It's a fact. That's going to be in the new film. Little tidbit for you there. Throw that out there. I mean, but see, you know, that's why I think it was important to try and come out with this stuff. As, you know, he was doing things to expose himself. Because when you look at the deeper elements on Jones or any of these guys, it's just, if you really look at it and take the blinders off and your perceptions off, it's strikingly glaring. It scared the crap out of me the first time I started finding out about this stuff. So, sorry, I didn't mean to go off at just that statement, you know, first person to get some good exposure with all this stuff. No, you're absolutely right. I'm just thankful for people like Lee Rogers and other people out there. I know Joel Bissett, who used to do a show with Rob Chowder, or still does, and I'm not really sure. I haven't listened to it over there in a long time, but those guys, you know, before they first started to hear me talking about this stuff back when we were on True Debt Radio, and they didn't believe it for a second. And, you know, they were the classic case of some guys that came around and researched it themselves and researched, went, well, you know, wait a minute, there is something to this, you know. That's the whole thing. Anybody who doesn't see it is not doing their homework, because if you do your homework, you're going to find it. If you still are in denial about it after you allegedly done your homework, then I say you're working for them anyway. But let me continue on here with his email. He says, Jones is a good portal for opening folk to all kinds of different things, but he manages to suck them in pretty well and just get them angry and disillusioned. Absolutely. That's why he's so dangerous. That's why these things need to be exposed. These things need to be put out there in the court of public opinion, at least. Don't judge your opinion on Alex Jones because of the things I say. Judge your opinion on Alex Jones from the things that I say that you've gone and checked out and found to be true for yourself. please, if I ask anything of you, let me ask that of you. Don't believe what I say about Alex Jones or have an opinion about him because of what I say about him. But have that opinion because you've taken the things that you've heard me say and you've looked into it and found it to be true yourself. Plus the things I've experienced personally, you know, with just, you know, business weird stuff. And it's just amazing. But the email continues here. It says, thanks, fuck. Not thank, fuck, but thanks, fuck. That's great. That's classic. Thank fuck for folks like you, Freeman, Max Egan, Henrik Palmgren, Michael Tesarian, true historians and messengers of our time. Great work, mate. Oh, and did you ever hear the story about Tesarian and Freeman having beef? Because Tesarian was trying to crack onto Freeman's missus. Does that mean Tesarian was trying to hit on Freeman's woman or something? He was trying to tap it, crack into Freeman's missus. That's the only thing I could take that as. No, I haven't heard that. That's funny though. Tesarian's a pimp, man. I mean, lock up your wives and I mean, he's metal as fuck, dude. I mean, with or without the ponytail, it's fucking Tesarian, dude. He's going to come and he's probably going to bang your girlfriend and he's probably going to put on some fucking Iron Maiden on the turntable and he's probably going to talk about symbols and occult symbology and the antediluvian history and technology for 3 hours on your couch. I mean, he's metal as fuck, dude. That's what you get. No, I love Tesarian to death. He's amazing. Yeah, just, you know. I just think that's funny. I haven't heard that. No. Oh man. That is too I'm sorry. Does that crack me up? Just the idea of I just have this visual image because I've never met Tesarian in person, but I've had him on my show like 5 times. Freeman I've met and hung out with, but I get this picture in my mind, middle picture of Tesarian and Freeman in the same room and like, you know, Freeman like, ah, oh, he tried to hit on my girlfriend. Oh man, what an asshole. Oh God. Yeah, you know, I was doing this research and got into Michael Tesarian and next thing you know, he's hit on my girlfriend. Yeah, that sucks. Freeman. Oh man, that's so funny. Just the middle image of that was just too much for me, man. It just overtook me. I couldn't help it. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. It says, I heard you briefly mention Project Camelot, I think. I think you were in the opinion those guys are not so good. I might be wrong. Apologies if I am. Basically, my question is, can you give me your opinion and insight into Project Camelot? Or what my listeners and my chat room likes to affectionately refer to as Project Camel Toe. That was one of the funniest damn things I've ever seen come out of the chat room. Sorry about the rant. Oh, it's not a rant. It's a good email. Thanks. I'd love to hear what you think about those guys. You know, real short and sweet on Project Camelot. I've seen what I believe personally to be a whole lot of same thing with Jones. You know, 80% truth, 20% disinfo, but a whole lot of disinfo. I don't know. They just seem greasy to me, but that's just my opinion. Don't believe what I say on it. But thank you so much for the email. Let me see what else I've got here in the stack tonight. Hi, Josh. I recently enjoyed your interview on Red Ice Creations. This is from Dick. And appreciate the work you're doing to try to push the envelope of political correctness in the truth movement. You mentioned that the CNP leads back to Fabian socialism, and hence the conservatives are secret socialists. I would beg to differ that the central goal of these groups is feudalism, to organize society based on the prerogatives of the fittest and not those of society itself, which the elite view is illegitimate. Well, they're trying to create the neo-feudalism is based around the fact that at the top, you have people that are working for the system, and at the bottom, the people who refuse to. And that's what the elimination of the middle class is. So left, right, it doesn't matter. That's why they're pulling these springs back and forth between the phony left and right to make sure that no matter what happens, people walk down that path of the have and the have-nots. This is the theme that unifies communism Marx's total state was just a method for destroying existing institutions and was supposed to wither away, leaving liberty in its place. And Austrianism, libertarianism, they seem to be polar opposites, but are merely two strategies for delegitimizing the state. Whatever the justification, anarchy leads to feudalism, which is great for people with money and power. One of the documents that helped me think more clearly on the topic of this was written by Lennon LaRouche. Almost stop right there. You go on. He goes on to talk about, you know, LaRouche and all this. Yeah, well, and Webster Tarpley. LaRouche and Webster Tarpley, this is a fact, are the rare breed that are right-wing socialists. You mentioned the socialists here. They are right-wing socialists, admittedly. Lennon LaRouche is a right-wing socialist, and Webster Tarpley is a LaRoucheite. He used to host a TV show called The LaRouche Perspective, and it was hosted by Webster Tarpley. But if you look up what those guys are into, they admittedly are right-wing socialists, essentially Nazis. But yeah, man, LaRouche, Tarpley, those guys, they're part of the CNP-controlled opposition. LaRouche is Council for National Policy as well, I believe. Or was at one time and was too crazy for him and they kicked him out. I can't remember. But yeah, thanks again for that email. Let's see. So those are the ones that I had skipped over. Let's see what other ones. There was a really good one in there. I really can't find it right now. It's a big one. This says, hello, Josh. How are you? I'm grand. Happy belated birthday wishes. Thank you. Oh, the name of this email, I should mention, the name of this email is Captain Enchilada. Not too hard to tell who that is. I would like to comment about T. Cullen Davis. T. Cullen Davis, he was a founding member of the Council for National Policy. He tried to murder his ex-wife. He murdered his 12-year-old stepdaughter, his ex-wife's boyfriend in his own house, but paid his way out of a murder conviction. He was caught on videotape trying to solicit a murder for hire on a judge, but walked out too. I don't see how anyone could defend this vile piece of shit, but a lot of people were treating him like a goddamn rock star wanting his autograph. Sickening. He claimed that he's broke, but I believe it's all a bunch of horse shit. He has plenty of money hidden somewhere. What are your comments? T. Colton Davis is he's one of the founding members of the board of... what do they call it? The board of directors or the board of, I think it's the board of directors or the people that, those are the highest levels of the CNP. Well, you have another level even above that, that most people don't know about. Even people, you know, few people know about the CNP, even fewer people know about the Arlington Group. I should do some research in Arlington Group. What's that guy's name? Joe Scarborough, you know, Morning Joe guy, the guy that killed his fucking secretary and bought his way out of it. Just like T. Cullen Davis. Yeah, he's Arlington Group. Tip top of the CNP pyramid. Hagee is Arlington Group. What's the other guy? Oh, I think he's dead now. Jerry Falwell. Yeah, he was Arlington Group as well. But the board of directors, I think, of the CNP was at that time was T. Cullen Davis, one of the Hunts, Edgar and Elza Prince, father of the Prince of Darkness, Eric Prince of Blackwater. And that's a great example there, Gary. Thanks for sending that in. That's my whole point about, and I mentioned this last week, that's the whole point about the way I make films. People, or the way I do the radio show too, people sometimes are like, hey, you know, you didn't mention this. Or, how come you didn't talk about this or mention that? But in my films, I intentionally do that and stuff because I don't want to put all the information in there because I still want there to be some thrill of the hunt for you. You know, when you're going to do your own research on these topics, I still want you to have those, aha, oh my goodness, oh my God. You know, I still want you to have those moments. And if I tell you everything there is to know, because the whole point of this is that you should be doing your own research. The whole point of this, of me making movies on this, is not for me to collate and get all. Some people try to do that. And I don't feel like that's my job. I'll leave that to other people. But for me, and my conscience and my soul and who I am, I don't feel right trying to, that it's my job to get all this information together and then give it to people in one package. I feel like I have to give you the highlights or just bits of it. So that you will go and research this on your own. Researching this stuff, folks, is half of the battle. And you are losing out on so much if you deprive yourself of the thrill and the and just the work of it and everything, what and what your mind does of researching this stuff on your own and finding out the truth of it for yourself. I mean, take what I tell you as your guide or your, you know, your lead to go and research it on your own. But, you know, for no other reason, man, for no other reason, not just to so you'll believe what I have to say about it. That's not a reason to research. It's not the only reason. I mean, you know, yeah, that is true, but you should research this stuff because the experience of doing that and the things that you find are just irreplaceable, and they're a part of your growing experience. And that's the thing about the show for me and this stuff is it doing this show. That's why I always tell everybody, if you want to see your research and what you're doing explode, start your own show. Because when you have your own show, man, it's like it doesn't give you the opportunity to ever stop reading and understanding, and because you always have to have new material. You always have to have new stuff to talk about. So, you know, you're always looking at everything because your perspective should always constantly be changing. At the moment that stops, which is what they want, that's what culture is designed to do. That's what media is designed to do, is to get that to just stop. They've got you. So there you go, Gary. There was a really good one. Let me see. Where did it go? I had a really good email. There it is. This is a long one. This is a really good one. It says, hi, Josh. The scholarship of Pierre Sabac and Dennis Fecho concerning the use of language as mind control may be key background to the mathematical phrasing of morals and dogma. To that, do you know World Court Judge David Wynn Miller? My friend is close with him. His invention of mathematical legalese is interesting, and he no longer pays taxes for his efforts. Wynn Miller gave Hawaii back to the native Hawaiians in the year 2000, but nobody knows about it. My friend also is gifted with regards to using frequencies, understanding the special ones, and he has been working with the Shiva helmet for a long time and is a gifted remote viewer, which is the milieu in which I met him. Wow. That's pretty interesting. I was glad to hear you on Red Ice. Hour 2 was extremely useful and is a great addition to my ongoing quest for understanding. The cognitive dissonance and controlled opposition construct you were discussing with Henrik in Hour 1 is a subdivision, as you know, of dialectical brainwashing. Indeed it is. And the organization that is responsible for creating and propagating dialectical brainwashing at the highest level is, from my understanding, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations in London. Yes. I saw once a pyramid thing, and it had, you know, Committee of 300, you know, Committee of 300, Council of 19, Tavistock, CFR, Royal Institute of International Affairs, and it showed how these things all intersect, but they're all part of these, you know, different various brotherhood networks. But yeah, I tell you what it is, I in fear of beating a dead horse, I don't always mention Tavistock at times when I know that I probably should, because I know that people in my listening audience, this is not bullshit. This is an absolute fact. My listening audience, sir, is made up of people like you who are fucking amazing and like even beyond me in understanding and researching this. I mean, really, we have an amazing audience. I mean, fucking gifted, smart, intelligent people listen to the show. It's just mind-blowing to me. And so, you know, because of that fact, I make these assumptions, you know, sometimes when I'm talking about certain topics, and that I assume if you've gone past Jones or you've gone past some of these other guys, you've gotten to me, you already know, as you mentioned here in your email, you already know about Tavistock. You know everything there is to know about it. You don't need me to beat that dead horse for you again. But you're exactly right in the information. I can't argue with any of that information that you're putting out there. Absolutely. Tavistock is the key, I believe, in your assertion of creating science fiction in order to codify it as fiction when in reality it appears real. Again, absolutely. But this is a great example because It's like we fill in the blanks for each other, you know? Something like, you know, you're like this person, great example here. This guy knows, he knows his stuff, man. You know, it's apparent. And I'm going to continue to read his email here. It's long, but it's worth it because this guy knows his stuff. But yet things that he heard me talk about filled in some blanks and kind of added to what his research has already shown him on his own. That right there, to me, is the perfect relationship between me and the listener. If I had to define it, that would be it. You know, where all I'm doing is maybe filling in some of the gaps and maybe giving you some different tidbits of information and stuff you've already confirmed on your own. No, because then you're not having to go do years and years of back work trying to go check out every little thing I say. And this is a great example, man, and a great email. I'm honored to have this person as a new listener because they really know their stuff. Tavistock is under the auspices of the Royal Institute of International Affairs. I've read about so many splinters of Tavistock, the Institute of Policy Studies, MK Ultra, Naomi, Stanford Research Institute, Harvard Psychiatry, MIT, Wharton, etc. And Tavistock is highly involved with genetics and DNA. Right there. I mean, the Tavistock and eugenics are hand in hand. Period, point blank, end of story. There is no way to deny it. Darwin was the head of the Eugenics Foundation. I mean, these guys were working hand in glove with Tavistock, which dovetails with your hour two discussion, which then dovetails with John D. Macrobe occult blood ritual to the connection between Tavistock and the bloodlines. The family that runs Tavistock's is the Bauer Rothschild family, yes. The Bauer Rothschild family, with help from Rockefeller and Saxe-Coburg and Gotha Windsor, the Rothschilds are High Knights of Malta Zionists, as were created by Diego Lanez, the Second Superior Jesuit Order General, according to Phelps. One of the roles of the Zionists is to be blamed for all the nefarious deeds of the Vatican. Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. But that doesn't take away the fact that Zionism is one of their main tenets for bringing about the global power structure and the global order. But you're right, it is a vehicle for the much larger agenda. And people who study Zionism need to understand that. Is this the role of the Khazar, or does this pertain to the 18th dynasty Egyptian Antonists or the Hyksos that came before? Great question. My research has shown me that all of those have been successive generations of each other, and all come from the brotherhood at the highest levels. 18th dynasty Egyptian Antonists, yeah. You know, monotheism. That was the origins of monotheism. You know, in God we trust. Very important to understand that that's where the single God thing comes from. Hyksos, yeah, Hyksos, that's another part of the bloodlines. All that ties into all our modern-day rulers, absolutely. We can trace back, you know, the Bush family and John Kerry and all those clowns that connect together. You can trace all of those people, all the people we can identify in the bloodlines, all the way back to Ramses II in Egypt. That's a fact. Unbelievable. For a decade or more now, I've felt that off-globe control is real. I think the first time I heard John Lear say that, there were no moons, then two moons, then one moon, and asserted that the atmospheres of the planets were unlike we were taught. And, of course, I traced the CFR, Club of Rome, Royal Institute of International Affairs, UN, Bilderberg Group, etc., up to the Committee of 300 in the Grand Druid Council of 13, Les Cirques, the Royal Order of the Garter, the Pilgrim Society, etc. You can see them controlled by different levels of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta up to Fra Festing, who was run by Attalus Nicol Pashon. These people are bloodlines, and the insertion of these people into their religious secret society pigeonhole are run by bloodlines. The White Pope, for example, could not have been approved until Prince Bernhard approved him. All these are all facts. All facts. Or the fact that we hear about Fritz Springmeier's 13 bloodlines, or the Orsini family runs the show. But the Orsini family runs the show, right. The true human power structure is, I believe, Rome. E.J. Phillips. E.J. Phillips might be a lunatic, religious, and a racist freak show. Indeed he is. But that guy's historical work appears immaculate. Yeah, that's been the problem. I've talked about that many times. He puts out credible evidence, puts out credible information. But again, as you mentioned, eloquently said there, he's a quote-unquote lunatic, religious, racist freak show. He absolutely is. Talks about wanting to set up segregated states of blacks and whites and Mexicans in the United States. And, you know, but that's what they do that. You know, I mean, but hey, the information's getting out there. Finally, I loved your Tom DeLay story and your discussion about Babylon and CERN. Thank you again for helping me connect the dots, and please feel free to contact me because I've been investigating controlled opposition, particularly with my prior role in Army Intel remote viewing at Raytheon. Wow. Army Intel remote viewing at Raytheon. Really? Whew. Interesting stuff. Well, maybe we could do an interview or something. I'd love to hear you talk about remote viewing at Raytheon, please. Enlighten us. You want to come on the show, give me a holler here at the email, please. That's, yeah, wow. And my acquaintances from Navy Intel, FBI Counter Intel, and NSA Black Ops. Wow, got some connections there, bud. By the way, I believe that David Icke is truthful in his mystical assertions, but maybe completely full of crap regarding his very narrow range. I got to say, you know, the fact that we have people in that high level of the power structure who know about this information and are aware of it is good news, because you know, that tells us that, you know, a lot of these people are just, and I believe there are a lot of them, they're just doing the jobs, man, trying to put food on the table, trying to keep, you know, roof over their house. A lot of these people that work in these, you know, that work in these groups and work for the government, stuff like that, at the core of it, they're not bad people. But that's what I was talking about earlier with neo-feudalism, the haves and the have-nots. That's how they get the good people to sell their souls to the power structure, is by creating economic climates like they've done now. And that's the whole goal. Haves and have-nots. By the way, I believe David Icke is truthful in his mystical assertions, but may be completely full of crap regarding his very narrow range of blame, Rothschild Zionists, which brings me right back to Diego Lanez and the creation of Zionism. Your observation that the fraudulent alternative media show no progression or evolution of their discussion is a great one. Thanks for your time. And courtesy, Ross. All right. Well, thank you for your email there. Very interesting stuff there, sir. One last email here. We'll take a break, come back, get into some news tonight. Hey, Josh, I've been monitoring this Red Star hemming captured with a video camera at 3 in the morning. It reminded me of the Red Dragon of the Lost Book of Enki you were reading the other night. Then again, it could be Nibiru, and I know your feelings on that. There's a video there. Well, I'll definitely check that video out when I get time. Let me say this about the whole Nibiru thing. It's not that I don't, like, disbelieve the whole Nibiru thing, but it's more that I'm not jumping to conclusions that, you know, it's going to come and it's the end of the world and it's going to come in 2012 and the Anunnaki are going to come back and all this stuff. I'm just hesitant to go that far, but I found information that appears to me to show that that's, you know, it's really a red herring for something else. But anyway, we're going to take a break, come back, and get into more news and information for you tonight. This is The Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Back here with you on the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for yet another late-night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight. We've got more news and information to get into with you here on this segment of the broadcast, and then we're going to be getting into Lost Book of Enki tonight for you on the show, hopefully, if it doesn't run too late here tonight. But again, my website, where this broadcast originates from, is www.theglobalreality.com. Here at the Global Reality Radio Network, we do not have commercials. We do not try to sell you anything, unlike other radio shows and radio networks and all that stuff out there. We don't try to sell you magical gold dust or, great granny's snake oil surprise sauce or, water filters or Hebrew gold or any of that stuff. And we don't sell banner ads and all that stuff, and we don't have any intrusive advertising. We don't have any on our website at all. And we do that because that was the whole thing when I started the network in 2009, was that we were going to be trying to start a new format. And that's the only way that we can create a new format and to have that be the model and to force these guys who, make you sit through all these commercials and be, I mean, isn't that the whole point? Aren't we trying to get away from commercialism? Aren't we trying to get away from, like Bill Hicks said, putting a goddamn dollar sign on every fucking thing on this planet? Isn't that what we're trying to get away from? I just had a real problem with that, having to be on these networks and have my show interrupted by commercials to sell products to which I was not seeing one single dime from. Starving to death. Oh, no, don't ask for donations on your show. We need those people to send that money to our sponsor so we can continue to get money from our sponsor. It just seemed like a whole fucked up deal. Why don't you just ask the people to give you money instead of asking the people who listen to your radio show to buy worthless products so that the people that sell the worthless products can then give you money to you for sponsorship? That just sounds retarded to me. Like intentionally trying to play the system. Doesn't it sound that way to you folks? It should if it doesn't. Think about it for a minute. Think about every radio show you like in this genre that you have to listen to on any network. And they're trying to get you to give money to a sponsor who gives money to them for advertising time so that when you buy their stuff, they can then in turn give you money for having their advertising on your website and your radio show, which then got you, the listener, to buy their crap that you may or may not need and blah, blah, blah. When you could just as easy forgo all of that and donate amounts of money that you see fit to the network itself, which then allows the network not to have to try and sell you crap. And that's what we do here, and that's the model that I set up here in 2009 with this network. And again, the only way it stays that way is if people donate. So the chipping banner, the donate button is there at the website, theglobalreality.com. Please use that today and support us so we can pay the bills and continue forward. And that's what we do. There you go. We got new listeners all the time, so I have to kind of, reinforce that. That's not for people who've been listening. No, it's for people who I'm sitting here watching my email. I'm getting YouTube subscriptions. Just every second. I mean, it's just this red ice thing. I knew this was going to happen, but it's really sent the show into kind of a supernova mode, and it's spreading everywhere out there. So I kind of have to go back and, tell people where I'm coming from on this stuff and tell people what my perspective is and how we do the network here. It's, it's wild. Anyway, let's get into the best news of the day, shall we? Hey, I've got two pieces of good news today, actually. Imagine that. Never thought we'd have that, did you? Number one, probably the best news of the day. Oh, I got to tell you what, man. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Zahi Hawass, the public face of the pyramids, has become the latest casualty of the revolution sweeping the Egyptian government after being sacked as Minister of Antiquities.
Suck Satan's cock, Hawass.
Dr. Hawass was head of the Egyptian Supreme Council of Antiquities for 10 years, and before that, in charge of the pyramids and Sphinx on the Giza Plateau outside Cairo. He staged regular press conferences, unveiling new discoveries from the time of the pharaohs. Blah, 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 blah. Hit the road, fucking Jack. Cocksucker. Maybe we'll get some truth. Maybe we'll get some real information now. My goodness. I'm glad the new Egyptian government seems to have some sense. Kick that fucking reptile. Look at his little black eyes in this picture. Guy, I mean, what was that stuff that... what was that stuff? I can't even remember. Never mind. Zahi Hawass. The stuff he talked about. I can't live without the antiquities, and the antiquities can't live without me. Well, we'll see. Anyway, good riddance. Get that fucking guy out of here. I think it seems like he got some sense now. But anyway, I'm gonna drop links in the chat room tonight as much as I can for articles. We'll see if Man Hydra can get some of those up on the website for us. He's been doing a fantastic job of that lately. So give a big shout out to Man Hydra. Thank him for all the work he does here at the website for us. Free of charge, by the way. Another good news here. I mean, I don't know if anybody else, you know, I remember about a year ago, everybody's freaking out saying, oh, Betelgeuse is going to erupt and oh, we're all going to die. I told you then it was propaganda. I mean, there's a great documentary, The Cygnus Mystery. It's on YouTube. You should watch it sometime. Because it appears that at some point, Earth has been hammered with these, cosmic rays that they found evidence of way penetrating way through the Earth, and supposedly these cause rapid evolution in DNA. And this is what I believe to be the trigger for 12-strand DNA activation that coincides with 2012, that the elite are using things like sodium fluoride in the water, which calcifies your pineal gland, which makes it more difficult for your 12-strand DNA to activate. But if you're doing things like, you know, drinking filtered water and you're, pretty spiritually aware and awakened and meditate and that kind of thing, you can overcome and override the effects of that calcification. It's like a muscle. It's like anything. You use it. You use your third eye. You use your pineal gland, and it's not going to become, you know, hazed over. But it appears through, you know, MSG as well. It changes your DNA. It keeps it from becoming multi-strand or more multi-strand. And it just, there's, to me, I come to the conclusion a long time ago, there seems to be a lot of evidence supporting the idea that the elite are aware that when and we reach 12-strand DNA activation and we turn into light beings, existing in a different dimension is not going to allow them there to be a power structure. And they know about this, and they're trying to do everything they can to stop it with, you know, pollutants and, as I mentioned, fluoride and MSG and aspartame and all this stuff. Excitotoxins, stuff that change your DNA, body scanners. Why do you think they have the body scanners? The electromagnetic net we're in through HARP and through cell phone towers and all of this stuff. It all plays a part in it's an electromagnetic web that's trying to keep us basically trapped in this three-dimensional soul prison. There's just no other term for it. It's a soul prison. And there's been a lot of propaganda going on about this Betelgeuse thing. You're going to continue to see more propaganda. They want people to believe this is the end, not the beginning. That's what the whole fear-mongering of 2012 and the Biru and the Mayan calendar and the misinterpretation of that and telling people, you know, oh, it means the end of the world. No, it means the end of the known world. I mean, the world you know is gone, never going to come back. Which it implies that's because there is a new world. A new dimension, 12-strand DNA activation. Earth could be getting a second sun, at least temporarily. Any of you out there seen 2010, The Year We Make Contact, a sequel to 2001, A Space Odyssey, you should watch that. Dr. Brad Carter, senior lecturer of physics at the University of Southern Queensland, outline the scenario to news.com.au. Betelgeuse, one of the night sky's brightest stars, is losing mass, indicating it is collapsing. It could run out of fuel and go supernova at any time. Well, yeah, but by the time it takes that light to get here, it's already happened. So I don't understand why they're not mentioning this. That means whatever. You know, if they're saying this thing is going to, you know, collapse and go supernova in 2012, that means that it happened, you know, it's already happened, maybe even years ago, which would mean that science would know that. They would know and be able to calculate when it is. I mean, they're making it sound as if it's going, you know, it's losing mass. And Kennedy is collapsing. Could run out if you don't go supernova at any time. But by the time they notice that, the much larger effects have happened, but we haven't seen them yet. When that happens for at least a few weeks, we'd see a second sun, says Carter. There may also be no night during that time frame. The Star Wars S scenario could happen by 2012, Carter says, or it could take longer. The explosion could also cause a neutron star or result in the formation of a black hole 1,300 light years from Earth. But doomsayers should be careful about speculation on this one. If the star does go supernova, Earth will be showered with harmless particles. Harmless or particles that cause it to have 12-strand DNA. Well, I mean, activation. What is it? They will flood through the Earth, and bizarrely enough, even through the supernova we see visually will light up in the night sky. 99% of the energy in the supernova is released in these particles that will come through our bodies and through the Earth with absolutely no harm whatsoever. In fact, a neutrino shower could be beneficial to Earth. According to Carter, this star stuff makes up the universe. It literally makes things like gold, silver, all the heavy metals, even things like uranium. A star like Betelgeuse is instantly forming for us all sorts of heavy elements and atoms that our own Earth and our own bodies have from long past supernova. So, and listen to this. It says, oh, update. Dr. Carter said there's no way of knowing when the star might go supernova. U.S. astronomer Phil Plant added Betelgeuse might go up tonight, or it might not be up for 100,000 years. We're just not sure. They added that, you know, later. So definitely, I think it's a mover. I think the story's a mover. I think it's a mover. I think there's something here. We're just going to have to wait and see what it's going to be and see how it plays out, though. Highly interesting stuff. I think this ties into the much larger secret knowledge that they're keeping and hiding from us. These elites know full well what this stuff is and what's happening with it and the time schedule it happens on. Well, that's part of the hidden knowledge. That's what they're not allowing us to see, and that's what's allowing them to maintain the power that they have up to this point. Oh, this is great. You guys hear about this? A 60-year-old Colorado woman allegedly squeezed and twisted the breast of a TSA administration officer on Thursday at a security checkpoint in Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix. Ikari Mamahe now faces a felony count of sexual abuse and has admitted to the crime. Yeah, this bitch said, hey, you like this shit? You like groping us? You like feeling our junk? Here, bitch, titty twister. Take that shit. Oh, you'll take that. You'll take it. She's like Japanese one. You'll take that titty twister. Titty twister. Oh, man, that is too much. But good for her. You know, she's a fucking hero. I hope people support her and help pay for her litigation. You know, standing up. Yeah. You know, giving those TSA fuckers a little taste of their money. Walk up and give them a titty twister, dude. You know? I mean, walk up and just grab some big fat guy, TSA guy's junk. Just walk up and grab. Ladies, you should do that. You really want to piss them off. Some hot blonde should go in there and just fucking go up to the ugliest, sweatiest, wart-nosed fucking TSA guy you can have and just grab his shit in the middle of God and everybody. Oh, man, he'll pee himself. You won't even go to jail for that. He'll probably be throwing hundreds at you. Christ. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, man, this is great. You guys hear about this? I got to drop a picture of this in here. Oh, this is just pure gold here. Apparently South Carolina's having a reptilian outbreak of some kind. Look at that shit right there, man. What movie was that shit from? Like Creature from the Black Lagoon or something? I shit you not, though. Check this out. He stands 7 feet tall with glowing red eyes, a scaly body and three-fingered hands, and has a nasty habit of biting, ripping, and pulling apart car fenders, hood ornaments, and radio antennas. Some local citizens think it could be the work of the infamous lizard man of South Carolina. Whatever it is, somebody needs to find out what's mauling these cars, because if it can do that kind of damage to a vehicle, look what it could do to a person. But that's what's awesome about this. This thing only fucks up cars. Like, watch this video, every car they show, it's like a pimp's wet dream, you know? It's like a fucking 78 Lincoln, you know, fucking on 100 count wire rims, and the lizard man fucked it up. The other one was like, you know, an 82 Caprice or some shit like that. You know? Oh, my God, man. It's just funny that the only thing that this thing has been known to do is just fuck up some classic pimp cars, you know? As always, and fucked with any people that hadn't done anything but fuck up some old pimp cars in South Carolina. I mean, I just... Oh, man. You got to watch that video, though. I dropped the link there, Jack. You got to watch the video in there. It's pure comedy gold. I swear, if you're in a bad mood, it'll make your week. Not a surprise here. I hadn't been covering a lot of this Murdoch thing. I think all a lot of you out there are smart enough to know what this is. So you don't need me to beat it over your head again. I do have to say, though, the reporter who blew open the phone hacking scandals now threatening to topple News Corporation, been found dead in his London home. And the police said, oh, well, you know, he was known to be into drugs and alcohol, so we don't have any reason to think anything nefarious happened. Yeah. And this guy just fucking brought down Rupert Murdoch. We don't have any reason to believe anything nefarious happened. My God. Rupert Murdoch is Knights of Malta. He's a player on the level of the players who pulled off the Kennedy assassination. That's a fact. And this thing is an operation. I don't even know, Gwendy, you know what it's an operation for. They're going to consolidate the media down even further than it already is. They're going to, I mean, it's just all the repercussions of this. It's just a staged fiasco. But this is a, you know, this is a warning here. They killed this guy and nobody's going to be brought to justice for it. And it's, you know, it's a warning. Don't fuck with us. These guys are fucking mobsters, man. There's just no way around it. Man, I don't know who's going to, this is an interesting story. I don't know who's going to end up buying these. I bet you a dollar. We need to monitor this because I bet you a dollar rent it's going to end up being somebody, you know, somebody that works at the Pioneer Fund or the Heritage Foundation or, you know, Council for National Policy member. I don't know. I'd just be interested to find out who ends up buying these. Diaries of Nazi Dr. Joseph Mengele up for sale. The reason I say that about the CMP stuff is because Roger Pearson, who was the head of the Pioneer Fund, which is this group that I mean, this is another one of the pieces of evidence, folks, that shows that the reality of the eugenics movement being associated with the International Association for the Advancement of Ethnology and Eugenics based in Edinburgh, Scotland, its connection with the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the priest class, and how that goes back to the original Anunnaki that genetically tinkered with mankind in varying degrees and with varying results. So they got what they thought was the perfect humanoid worker. You see that these claims that are made by the Pioneer Fund and people like Roger Pearson saying that blacks are genetically inferior to whites, and they could prove it. That's the connector. That's how you know that these guys in the CMP and all these connected people are the ones that go back to the priest class, that go back to the custodians, the Anunnaki themselves. And Roger Pearson, who was brought over to the United States, he was a member of the Heritage Foundation for a while as well. He was brought over to the United States, head of the Pioneer Fund, eugenics, you know, oh, we're going to prove blacks are genetically inferior to whites. He was brought over here by none other than Willis Carto, head of the Liberty Lobby, Spotlight Magazine, who Jim Tucker has been working for years, writing and going and covering the Bilderberg Group. And, you know, Roger Pearson admitted that he aided and abetted Heinrich Himmler in South America after World War II, admitted that. Also, Eustace Mullins worked for Willis Carto as well. Willis Carto's been connected to all kinds of white supremacist stuff, Seven Ways to Sunday. Well, that's why I'm saying, man, again, you know, you see how connected and how deeply connected these guys with these CMP ties and the Truth Movement and Willis Carto and Jim Tucker and all that. I mean, it's deep, man. It's at the deepest levels. The diaries of the feared Nazi war criminal Joseph Mengele, the so-called Angel of Death, who carried out gruesome medical experiments on prisoners in Auschwitz, will be auctioned in the United States. The diaries written after World War II, once Mengele had fled from the Allies to Latin America, contained his philosophical reflections, autobiographical stories, and poems penned between 1960 and 1975. Man, he probably fucking admits his connection to Roger Pearson and those motherfuckers. Anybody got $300,000 to $400,000 to buy these? I doubt it. Roger Pearson or his ilk or Willis Carto, or they, you know, those guys probably do. The Connecticut-based Alexander Autographs said Thursday that on the auction would include some 3,500 pages of hidden journals written by the doctor who terrorized the inmates at Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp. The items, mostly small spiral-bound notebooks, are expected to fetch between $300,000 and $400,000 at the auction. Very interesting stuff there. It'd be good if somebody would buy some of this stuff and, print it so we could see it, maybe glean some information from it, research purposes. Gold soars above $1,600 per ounce for the first time. Again, I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Get the fuck out of gold, motherfucker. Get out. Buy yourself some fucking, a bung out in Argentina or something, but my God. They're going to cause this artificial inflation. They're going to tank it, and they're going to come in and buy it up for pennies on the dollar. And when everybody's wanting a loaf of bread and a crust of bread and some clean water, people are going to be gladly trading that gold in for a one day's meal. You don't think that's what's coming? That's what I see is coming. Get out of gold. They've took it from the people once. They will do it again. Do not believe these hucksters that tell you to buy gold and the truth movement and the rest of this stuff. I don't care who they are. In light of what happened with, Japan and all the other earthquakes, it seems everybody has forgotten about the big earthquake that hit New Zealand. We had some New Zealand listeners for a while and didn't ever hear back from them. I hope they're okay. I hope they didn't perish in this. Well, they've had 7,500 earthquakes since the last big one happened last year. It's been 10 months since the first big earthquake struck New Zealand's second largest city. It's been nearly 5 months. It's a far more devastating one, killed 181 people and crippled the downtown. And it's just been a few hours since yet another aftershock startled Christchurch residents during the night. And, they've had fucking 7,500 earthquakes in 10 months, more than 20 a day. And people just seem to have forgotten about it. Popular Science article here, interesting stuff. One piece of something we all need to be concerned with. Amid privacy concerns, police across the nation will roll out face recognizing iPhone tech this year. So they're going to be able to walk up to you now and just scan you with facial recognition. The cops will, and do with you what they please afterwards. I mean, this is. they're really trying to push everything over the breaking point, folks. They're trying to anger everybody. They're getting everybody pissed off about this economy. They're creating a boiling pot. Remember we talked about they've been slowly reducing the amount of fluoride? Remember last year when that happened, Alex Jones was the only thing he could say over and over again was just pat himself on his back and suck his own dick, saying, oh, it was us. It was InfoWars and InfoWarriors, and we defeated them and got them to start putting less fluoride in the water because we're good activists. Bullshit. Bullshit. This is a powder keg. They were slowly reducing the amount of fluoride in the water so we could get people more angered, more enraged, more pissed off. That's why the economy has continued to slide. That's why they've been bringing down these new draconian measures and new technology and more police state and more control. That's why they've been doing it. We cannot walk into this. It's a trap being set for us. They're trying to goad us into a fight, and whoever fires first is going to be the first to lose. A controversial piece of facial recognition technology is rolling out in police stations across the country this fall. And naturally, not everyone is happy about it. The Mobile Offender Recognition and Identification System, MORIS, uses an augmented iPhone to snap pictures of faces, scan fingerprints. It sounds like Smots. You ever seen the Blues Brothers? And he's like, I hope they don't got Smots. He's like, what's Smots? Statewide, blah, 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 blah. He's this long acronym for this computer system to tell who you are. Boy, that was way ahead of its time, wasn't it? Good job, Aykroyd and Belushi. MORIS uses an augmented iPhone to snap pictures of faces, scan fingerprints, and even to image your irises. and then combs through police databases looking for matching identities. This understandably has privacy and civil liberty abbot as crying foul. Yeah, you bet your ass. This is just unbelievable. I mean, it's, we're here. The Morris device attaches to the back of an iPhone, adding roughly 1.75 inches to the thickness of the smartphone. Police officers armed with the tool could take a photograph of a person's face from about 5 feet away. So they don't even have to be close. From 5 feet away, they can just walk by you because they don't like you and just snap a picture of you without you knowing about it and then run it through their database. This is fucking insane. God damn, makes you not even want to go out in public anymore, doesn't it? My God, you know, now I start to understand why some of these motherfuckers, you know, board up their fucking houses and fill the bathtub up with dog food and, you know, batten down the hatches. My God, it's getting nuts. So it could scan your face from about 5 feet away or scan his or her iris from about 6 inches. So, yeah, 6 inches. They don't have to be close to you for that either. And wirelessly beam that data to law enforcement databases elsewhere to look for a match. It can also perform remote fingerprint matching. Similar biometric technology has been deployed by use in the military in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah, you know, I met a guy a few years ago that worked for a contractor in Iraq, and he told me about these checkpoints they have. And if you walk up and you don't have an ID, they dispose of you and no one ever sees you ever again. And in this kind of technology, this biometric stuff, and he told me that 2-3 years ago, this was coming here. I mean, it's coming here. It's here. The technology lives in a somewhat gray area of the law. It's generally permissible to take a photo of anyone in public space, yeah, except if they're a cop. Yeah, it's generally permissible for them to take a photo of anyone in any public space, unless you're a person in a public space taking a video or a picture of a cop, then it's illegal. But when a law enforcement agent does so, and especially when he or she then cross-references against a criminal database, that should constitute a search and therefore should require a warrant. Exactly. Technological sneaking around of the alleged Constitution. Yeah, that's all they're doing. And the Constitution is a fraud. The people who set it up are a fraud. They set it up to benefit the white aristocratic landowners. We know that. But that's not the point. The point of the matter is the people that still believe that the Constitution is what it is are the ones that are trying to enrage with this. It's another one of those situations where technology has simply outpaced the law. You would think that Ben Franklin, of all people, would have seen mobile facial recognition software coming. So while it would be nice to turn to a legal precedent here, nothing there simply isn't one. Nonetheless, BI2 has deals with about 40 agencies nationwide to deliver about 1,000 of the devices starting in September. From a law enforcement standpoint, police officers seem to like it. Yeah, I bet they do. Drunk on power, I'm going here, I'll scan your face, even though you didn't do anything to me. I don't like you because you got long hair and tattoos, and I bet you like that devil music. Smoke that dope. You want to smoke that dope, boy? I love that. I mean, I see cops do that to people all the time, but straight edge motherfuckers, you know, they never smoked a joint of the faith in their life. You smoke dope, boy? Smoke that dope? Cops are so stupid in Texas, they think that patchouli is pot. About 10 years ago, me and some buddies were in a car, and we're out in the middle of nowhere and out in the country, and fucking cop pulls us over for what? I don't know. My buddy wasn't speeding or anything. And we all, you know, we were hippies, you know, so we had fucking, you know, we had patchouli on, you know? You know what patchouli is, stuff hippies smell like, right? Well, it's not, you know, okay, well, this guy, this redneck cop was so dumb that he associated the smell of patchouli with marijuana. But we didn't have any marijuana on us. And there was none in the car, but he believed that we smelled like marijuana because we smelled like patchouli, so he was convinced there was marijuana on us or in the car. Dude, he tore my buddy's car to pieces on the side of this road for like an hour. I'm not kidding you. He like fucking was taking fenders off, taking wheels off. I mean, literally just manned the car. And after about an hour, I mean, we're sitting there on the side of the road going, dude, you're wasting our time. There is not any fucking marijuana in here. And after about an hour, he just kind of realizes, and we're like, dude, you know, we got patchouli on. Smell us. Is that what you're smelling? And he's like, yeah, that's pot. Like, that's not pot, dude. It's patchouli. Dude grabs his fucking crowbar off his belt and slams it on the ground and goes, God damn it! and picks up his fucking billy club and gets in his fucking cruiser and hauls ass out of there. That shit was so priceless. We made that dude look like a fool, but not before he dismantled my buddy's car on the side of the road because he was so stupid he thought patchouli was marijuana. Christ. So these are the type of clowns that are going to have this facial recognition technology, though. Well, I just don't like you. You just don't look like you're from around here, boy, so I'm going to scan you and we'll see if you're a criminal. Well, it says here, boy, you got arrested for drinking and driving back in 1992. And you're like, yeah, so what? You know, I was fucking young. I was a kid, whatever, you know. People do this. Well, you plan on doing some drinking and driving while you're in my town, you're going to have to deal with me. You know, I mean, that kind of shit. That's what they want to use this for, man. I mean, this is fucking the Bubbas and the Rednecks. Of course they love this shit. Oh, must be more powerful. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is classic right here. I don't know if you guys are ready for this. Couple says image of Jesus appears in a Walmart receipt. An image of Jesus has shown up in another unlikely place, at least in the eyes of an engaged couple from Anderson County, South Carolina. What's going on in South Carolina? What the fuck are they spraying over there? I mean, goddamn, y'all must be getting some fucking, like, mega dose Nazi edition chemtrails or something. I mean, these motherfuckers are getting lizard men tearing up cars and Jesus in Walmart receipts. Let me ask you a question. I think this is subtle marketing by Walmart to try to associate their Chinese slave labor products with the Lord. Nice try, Walmart. It's not mine. And only that, this picture could very well, very easily be, you know, a zombie or zombie Jesus. It looks more like zombie Teen Wolf Jesus to me. I mean, I'll drop a picture of it in the chat room for you guys to see. There it is. Double click on that link in the chat room. I want you to look at that picture. He looks like Teen Wolf Zombie Jesus. Remember that movie with Michael J. Fox, Teen Wolf? He looked Teen Wolf Zombie Jesus. That Teen Wolf Zombie Jesus is on my Walmart receipt. And that's why I shop there, and they got good products, and I got a good deal. And Zombie Jesus, Teen Wolf loves me. Yeah, and fluoride is good. It helps your teeth. Unfucking believable. They're spraying, man. You guys, I do cocaine in fucking South Carolina. Jesus Christ. This, you guys ever, me and some friends watched that movie with little 80s cult classic with Weird Al Yankovic, UHF. We watched that last week. And there's this line in there where he's doing like this Geraldo type show. And I always quoted this for years, and my friends never know where it comes from, but he's like doing like a Geraldo show. And Weird Al's like, Nazi lesbian hookers abducted by UFOs and forced into weight loss programs. I actually have a story like that here tonight. I'm not kidding you. Neo-Nazi girl band reinvent themselves as liberal healers with medical marijuana cards. I am not making this up. I am not making this up. Neo-Nazi girl band reinvent themselves as liberal healers with medicinal marijuana cards. Tonight on Geraldo. I am not kidding you. Nazi lesbian hookers abducted by UFOs and forced into weight loss programs. Neo-Nazi girl band reinvent themselves as liberal healers with medicinal marijuana cards. I mean, that's damn close. That's damn close. UHF. With Weird Al Yankovic. Unbelievable. Oh, my God. That is too funny. They rose to fame as the faces of neo-Nazi pop band Prussian Blue. Look at these two little Aryan princesses here. Oh, look at them. I mean, oh, Hitler would just love them. I mean, straight from the goddamn Aryan seed. Look at those two chicks. I mean, yeah, Hitler. I mean, look at that. That is, oh my goodness. Look at these two Aryan queens here. They rose to fame as the faces of neo-Nazi pop band Prussian Blue. Now, twin sisters Lamb and Lynx Gade say they have reformed their extremist ways, blaming their hateful messages of white supremacy on youthful naivety. These are what we're talking about with Mangala. These are, you know, not only the boys from Brazil, but the girls from Brazil now. They look like they're cut from the same stock that, what's his face, Julian Assange was cut from. The 19-year-olds who both have medicinal marijuana cards consider themselves healers. Well, that's nice to know. They're healers. And say that they are pretty liberal now. You gotta see this. Oh, my God. This is precious. This has got to be. Oh, my God. This has got to be my background. I mean, this is. Look at this picture. Oh, this is just. That's just precious. Look at that one. One's got braces. They're both Aryan little. Just Aryan seed. And look at the little shirts they have. It's a smiley face with Hitler's face on it. His little mustache and his little hair. Aww. Aren't they cute little neo-Nazis? Folks, this is what the world could be. We could just, every girl could be little t-shirt wearing Nazis if we just would have let these crazy fuck right-wing Nazis win. Jesus, fuck, man. This, you know, look, we are in the Fourth Reich. Don't ever deny that. Look, Nazi Germany and Hitler never ended. They just closed that down to the public and gave it a new face and a new name. That's the same thing they've done with everything. United States is the new Rome. After that, it'll be some others, but it is still going to be Rome. You understand what I mean? No matter what it's called, it's still Rome, for instance. Unbelievable stuff there. Your tax dollars at work, people always talk about, you know, how they waste our tax dollars here in the United States. Well, you over in the UK, hey, they waste your tax dollars too. Except they waste it on shit like this. Why is it that Brits, and nothing against, we have a great Brit listening audience, why are Brits, I was talking to my sister about this yesterday, why are Brits so obsessed with tossers, with fucking, what do they call them? Buggers. Why are these guys so obsessed with homos over there? I mean, you don't know, your TV and culture and comedy, it's always about homos. It's always about, what's a dude wearing drag or, I don't know. But anyway, your tax dollars at work, Brits, thousands of tax dollars funded a study on the penis size in the gay community. As the country plunges further into debt and with a small task of securing a multi-trillion dollar deal on its cards, it has emerged thousands of tax dollars were wasted on a study examining the correlation between a gay man's penis size and his sex life. So, because they say that gay guys actually have larger dicks. So, the government actually funded this. Yet, you know, everybody's starving to death. Wow, your tax dollars at work. Well, the only reason they want to know that is because they want to decide whether or not, they can start creating their genetically engineered large gay dick brigade that they can just, you know, basically create in a fucking test tube and just pump them out one after one into the fucking Bohemian Grove every year. You know, they just take them out back, shoot them in the head with a 22 and toss them in the Russian River and let them float, and they dissolve after a while. They're just going to start making, you know, genetically engineered homos for the worker fuckers, you know, worker buggers for the Bohemian Grove. My God, this shit's getting more twisted every day. Unbelievable stuff. And I mentioned earlier that they're just further and further trying to get everybody enraged, further trying to push us into civil war and unrest, further trying to push us into fighting against each other instead of fighting against the true problem, and that is the people in power running this planet and killing it, not us. We never had a say in this. Nobody ever asked us if we wanted to kill the rainforest. Nobody ever asked us if we wanted to commit genocide and starve people out, but yet they do this stuff in our name. This has got to stop. And it's not going to come to a stop if we continue to feed into it. And people buying into this phony patriot thing. I think a lot of people are not buying into the phony patriot stuff as much as they were for a long time. That's good to see. People are more and more starting to figure this out. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really glad that people are really starting to figure this out more and more, because people like Alex Jones and others, they want to goad you to fight. They want to goad you into armed conflict. It's not about surviving for them. It's about you dying and as many people dying as it possible, so they can have an excuse to come down on us and bring the hammer down on us. That's what they want to do. So a New York man was beaten, robbed on a subway train yesterday by four men who claims that he was picked on because he was white. So again, you know, now they're, oh, well, now the
blacks are retaliating against the whites because the black Obama's in there, and my goodness, see, race war. That's what they're trying to. That's what they're trying to brew, folks. The CMP guys are all behind that. Gigantic home under construction in Missouri. This is interesting. They build this gigantic home, and its location happens to be right smack dab in the middle of the New Madrid fault line we've talked about in Missouri. And I was going, man, why would you build? Because they're going, why would somebody build this 72,000 square foot home that costs, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the middle of an earthquake zone? And who could build such a thing? Well, listen to this. A 72,000 square foot private home being built in the southwest Missouri will be one of the largest in the United States when it's completed. The Springfield News Leader reported that the home is being built by Stephen Huff, who has family ties in Missouri and is chairman of the Wisconsin-based TF Concrete Forming Systems. Not surprisingly, it will be built out of the insulated concrete manufactured and distributed by Huff's company. Michigan-based Helix is also partnering in the project, providing the steel reinforcement product that will be used. Luke Pinkerton, founder of Helix, said that the idea was to create a home that uses very low energy as well as having a strong resistance to tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, fire, flood, and insect damage. So there you go. Key word, earthquakes there. So that answers my question, why they're building this gigantic fucking house in the middle of the New Madrid fault line. This is a test house. They want to see if they can build a house that's going to resist massive earthquakes like that, so they can figure out if they're going to use that for themselves. Well, that's all our news tonight. I tell you what, we're getting into the late hours tonight, so I think we're going to skip on reading from the Lost Book of Inky tonight, but we'll get back into doing that tomorrow night for you here on the broadcast. Lots of news, and I kind of got on some rants tonight, but I thought it was a good show tonight. I enjoyed it. Thanks to everybody for being here. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. Please donate and chip in there to the network if you can, folks. We do need support right now. We're down to very little in the bank, and we have to pay some bills this week. Right now, actually, I think the stream bill is due. I think it's going to be turned off like tomorrow if we don't get it paid. But either way, we also have the P.O. box there now. People have been asking for a P.O. box. If you didn't hear the show last week, we have a P.O. box address now. It's on the right-hand side of the screen. You can send checks in there. If you absolutely cannot use PayPal, that's there, so you can support us that way. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you, and we will see you tomorrow for the broadcast. You guys have a great night. Take care.